Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'd love to assist in this today.
Okay. All right. And welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Shirley Murdoch, you have been singing since you were 15.
Well, actually, before that, I think I probably came out of the womb singing.
Okay. You've been singing before that. Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 15 years old. But as long as I remember walking and talking, I remember singing. I listened to the radio. I have five siblings.
Okay.
And they would tell my mom, "Mama, please make Shirley shut up." I'd be locked in the bathroom, girl, singing because the acoustics were so great in there. You know, but I remember, you know, listening to Aretha Franklin and Gladys Knight and all those great singers and mimicking and learning from them. So I've been at it for a long time.
Been at it for a long time. You have a beautiful voice, soulful voice, just a very beautiful voice. And I really love your songs and buy your CDs and listen to them. What is the name of the church that you sing at?
Actually, you know, I've been blessed to be a part of many ministries. My home church is Solid Rock Church in Monroe, Ohio. Is pastored by co-pastor Darlene Bishop and her late husband. When I came to them, her husband, Lawrence Bishop, was the pastor at the time. I've been with them for about 15 years. My husband is also he's the associate minister at Second Baptist Church in Springfield, Ohio. So I minister there also. But as of the beginning of the year, I became the director of worship at Tabernacle Bible Church under the leadership of Dr. Gary G. Hales and co-pastor Andrea Hales. And so, you know, I handle the choirs. I have five artistic ministries that I deal with also, you know, mimes and hip-hop dancers and praise dancers, and it's just really a blessing. So I'm blessed to be a part of several ministries.
Oh, that is wonderful. But are you a minister yourself? I noticed you said
yes, I am.
Your husband is a minister. Oh, you are a minister. Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm called to be an evangelist. Just last week, my husband and I went to Marysville Prison and had an opportunity to minister to those ladies, to go behind prison walls, go in the enemy territory, and just let people know that, you know, God is not mad at you, honey. You know, you're not forgotten. He knows your name. He even knows how you got here, but he's standing with his arms open wide to receive you and to help you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And it was amazing. That prison gym became a sanctuary, honey. It was really just a wonderful presence of God, and those ladies were uplifted, and it was awesome.
Yes, the prison system is something else. That's all I'll say. I did some shows on it. Now you were signed to in the very beginning when you first, you know, I believe that if I got my facts right, you were signed to Elektra Records. How did seeing with this record company make you feel? I mean, your first label.
My first label was Elektra Records.
Yes.
And some of my label mates were people like, you know, Anita Baker and Howard Hewitt. And what was really cool at that time is that the gentleman that was over the Black division, he wanted to make sure that, you know, that we were all a family, and that was really helpful. Just to be, you know, to be a singer, you know, to be this little girl watching Shirley Temple movies, and her name was Shirley, she was young, she could sing and dance. And I'm like, one day that's going to be me. So to have that dream come to fruition, you know, it's just really amazing. And God is not only the giver of the dream, but the keeper and the fulfiller of dreams. So really my life has really been, it has been and still is and continues to be a dream come true.
A dream come true. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. To actually fulfill a dream and get paid for the dream. So, you know, that's wonderful. That is wonderful.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, when you, that dream is connected to your purpose, you
yes.
know. So when you see yourself being more than what you are, you know, you imagine yourself doing something, you know, that's God. That's the gift that God gives us, is a glimpse of our future self, you know. And so it's connected to your talents, you know, all those things culminate together. But to wake up every day, you know, doing what it is that you love and walking in that, in your purpose, it is absolutely a blessing, and it's humbling. But God is so awesome. He gives us all a dream, and he gives us all opportunities, I think. But when we connect to him, then that puts us on the path, you know, that would lead us to our destiny.
Yes, God does do that. Yes, he does. You have over 1.3 million views on YouTube for your song, As We Lay. I know it's not gospel, and I know gospel and spiritual songs are your roots, but do you know that you have well over 1.3 million YouTube?
Something
views?
Like that. You know, it's not gospel, but it's the truth. It is life. And,
yes.
you know, I think that it's important as an artist, you know, And that we sing songs about life. You know, that's really, I've always sung songs about life from gospel, which is the truth, and that's life. You know, gospel just means good news, and everybody needs good news in their life. I don't care who you are, what your social status is, you know, what your job is, whether you're a teacher, preacher, garbage can collector, ditch digger, drug dealer. You know, everybody needs some good news. And so the good news is that God is not mad at you, you know, and that he loved us so much that he gave his life to reconcile us back into right relationship. But once, you know, we are body, soul, and spirit. I really want to start a whole revolution, to start a whole new genre of music and just call it life songs. Because life songs would include, you know, of course, you know, we love God, and I love to be in his presence. I love worship. But, baby, when you come out of the Holy of Holies, life is waiting there to give you a black eye. It's ready to give you a hickey and
yes.
have you on the mat with his foot in your neck.
Yes.
So we need songs to help us in every aspect of living. You know,
yes.
To me, you know, Destiny's Child, I'm a survivor. That's gospel. That's good news. You know,
yes.
I'm a survivor.
Yes,
I'm not going to give up.
I'm
you know, I love me better than that, than to lay here in choir or stay here and die. I'm going to get my life back. That's gospel. To me, when you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand, you got a friend, that's good news. That's gospel. So for me, I really believe in singing songs about life. As We Lay was a song that dealt with infidelity. Two people who got caught up, you know, in a situation of being selfish, of thinking of dealing with and acting upon what feels good to you right now, but not thinking about the consequences. If you think about it, so many times People make permanent decisions based upon a temporary situation, not thinking about the consequences, not thinking about the fact that the decision that you make don't just affect you, but affects everybody in your world and in your life. That's why you need to count up the cost before you get lost in the second, in the minute, in the hour. So as you lay, like you said, and I agree with you, it's not a gospel song, but it is a life song. But what was more important to me to add to that song was that moral, that you
that
need
moral.
To count up the cost, because baby, there's a price tag attached to every decision.
Yes, yes. And the whole point was to not exactly point out what you just did. Did you know you had well over 1.3 million views? That's a lot of people. That's more.
That's a lot of people. It's a blessing. And that's why. That's why I feel responsible to, when I sing songs, sing about life, sing about the moral to it. So because I've been blessed with those many people, and people give you their time. Time, you can't take time back. You know, and you can't put a price tag on time. But if people are going to give you your time, I feel responsible to sing about life, to sing about things that are going to encourage people, to give them something in their arsenal to fight this, you know, to walk this thing out, to fight the good fight of life.
Yes, 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 you have been called. You've definitely been called by God. You have worked with Bishop T.J. Jakes in 1999. On his Sacred Love Songs and the Storm Is Over CDs. Is this when you decided to just go straight, mostly gospel? And then, of course, you said you like to start something new, live songs. Is this when all this started to occur? I mean, you already sing gospel in the church.
I never stopped singing gospel. All of my records, all of my mainstreamers always had a gospel song on there. What happened, sweetheart, is that at the time when I came up and singing gospel and when I got saved, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to sing gospel. Those doors never opened for me. I was actually in full-time ministry and got laid off. You know, but I walked through the door by faith, through the door that God opened for me. And that led me to, you know, to the late, great Roger Troutman, all the work that I did with the group Zap, him being my producer, you know, getting that record deal for me with Electra Records, from Computer Love, As We Lay, all those hits. But in my heart of hearts, I always wanted to sing gospel, and that was always my desire. But God, I was singing on the praise and worship team at Solid Rock Church, the church I told you about, my home church. And Bishop Jakes came to preach our anniversary, and I met him. And God used Bishop T.D. Jakes to open that door for me. He gave me this, you know, that honor and the privilege to sing on the Sacred Love Song CD, The Storm Is Over, and many of the projects. But he started a record label, and I was signed to Warner Brothers at the time. And he said, Shirley, you said you never had an opportunity to sing gospel. I started a record label. Here's your opportunity. So God used him to open that door. And for him, I'm forever grateful. And I went to Roger and said, Roger, I finally have this opportunity, you know, to follow my heart, you know, to sing gospel. And I want to be released from Warner Brothers to do this project. And he went to Warner Brothers and championed that release. And I was released on paper December of 98. And Roger passed away April of 99.
So you said
that timing is just amazing. Isn't that something?
Record label? I'm sorry.
T.D. Jakes' record label was Dexterity, and it was distributed by EMI. So it was they were in partnership with EMI, and that project was called Home. That was my very first full gospel endeavor, and I got great reception. I was blessed to be nominated for a Stellar Award with that one.
How did that nomination make you feel?
Oh, man, that was like the gospel Grammys.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that was really awesome. I was really honored, you know, and to be in the company of such great artistry and ministry. So it was just a blessing.
Okay. You're also an actress. You have worked with Michael, worked in Michael Matthews' hit gospel play, Fake Friends, which featured Marvin Sapp, David Peason, also the late Allie Woodson, and Gary Little G.
David Peason has gone on to be with the Lord also, if people didn't realize that.
Oh, okay.
So, and that was really my first, you know, really professional stage play experience. Michael Matthews is like the godfather of the gospel plays. I also worked with Tyler Perry very early in his career with I Know I've Been Changed. And, I mean, God, I went from being, like, you know, the cameo appearance of Auntie Somebody, you know, singing a song, to actually having lead roles and to being on stage with people that I watched on TV and on the big screen, like Billy Dee Williams or people like Malik Yoba and Clifton Powell and Jack A. Harry, my gosh, Robin Givens, and so many people that I became fans of, you know,
yeah.
to actually be on stage with them during these plays. So one door opened up another door. So the Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. And I'm definitely a witness and can testify to that.
Yes, you are. Your life is a witness for many people. You were talking about Robin Givens. You also worked with Johnny Gill and her mm-hmm. and on Mother's Prayer. You were
yes.
where they were a featured actor and actresses. Do you enjoy
uh-huh.
the character in this stage production that you
Oh yeah.
played?
I had a great time. You know, I played the mother slash grandmother. So, you know, mama could always step in, you know, and defend their grandkids against their it's so funny because parents will tell you, wait till you have kids. You know, I hope you get the same kind of kids that you were. So it was just a lot of fun, you know, working with Johnny Gill. Johnny and I, our birthdays are the same. So we refer to each other as twins, except I'm like way older than Johnny.
Okay.
But, you know, just always having, you know, when you're a fan of somebody and then they have the opportunity to work with them, that's just an extra bonus.
Okay.
Robin Givens is a sweet, sweet, sweet girl, sweet young lady, really easy to work with, and we had a great time.
Yes, I recently saw her on The Game, and I think
yes.
it was a repeat episode. Yes, I saw her. All right, Ms. Shirley Murdoch, we're going to go to break. We're going to play,
okay.
I'm going to play As We Lay, and
okay.
then listeners, we're going to come back and talk to Ms. Shirley Murdoch some more.
Let's do it.
All right, thank you.
Goodness, Whitney, there's nobody like her. She and I came out around the same time. We two came into the music scene around the same time, and just a phenomenal voice. I don't think there ever be anybody like her. It really broke my heart to hear of her passing. I was a big fan of Whitney Houston. As a matter of fact, the day before her passing, I was in Chicago. Doing a concert with my good friend Regina Bell and longtime friend Mickey Howard and Angela Winbush. We were actually in Chicago doing a concert together honoring our friend Vesta Williams, who had passed away. And then the next day I went to, I believe I was in, I think, Kentucky, and I was waiting to go on stage, and I was in my dressing room, and my brother told me he'd gotten a, my sister-in-law and my brother were with me, and they told me they got a text message from our niece that Whitney had, you know, that they suspected that Whitney had passed away. And we turned on, you know, CNN and, you know, kept flipping through the news channels. And I saw that it wasn't confirmed, but they kept showing all these pictures of her in the past. And it reminded me of when I was in Houston and found out that Michael Jackson had passed away. And then I told my brother, my sister-in-law, I said, I believe she's gone. And that, you know, they can't confirm it because many times when the family has not been notified, they really can't confirm. But it really broke my heart because there's a void in the music industry. There's a void of that awesome angelic voice. But, you know, she's gone too soon. But, oh, my gosh, she'll never be forgotten. And then that night, I remember I redid one of her songs. I think it was on either Roger's Greatest Hits or one of the Zap Greatest Hits. I redid And I'll Always Love You. So that night of my performance, you know, I paid tribute to Whitney and just sung that song.
Yes. Yes, it was a shock to amaze the people, even people who did not know her. I never met her. I knew her personally, but I was a fan, like I am of yours. I'm a fan.
Thank you.
And, you know, when someone dies of that magnitude,
right.
it's shocking. I mean,
yeah, you know, I didn't know Whitney personally either.
And you're legendary.
We had a lot of,
and she's legendary. So.
Oh, my goodness. Great company to be in, absolutely. But we had mutual friends, and I remember being on tour with Luther Vandross, the late, great Luther, honey. We were sold out for, like, I think, 4 or 5 nights at Madison Square Garden. I remember that. I got my gold record for my very first CD during that time, and Whitney came to our show. But I missed her because I was, you know, in another area receiving that gold record. But, I mean, phenomenal. I mean, you have to. Whitney would be somebody that any singer could aspire to the things that she obtained and the goals that she met in the music industry. Definitely somebody to look up to and to emulate. You know, so many great things. You know, from her beautiful anointed voice. You know, to her becoming an actor, producer. All of those things, but the thing that I remember and hear most from people who knew Whitney was that she never lost her love for the Lord and for the Word of God. So I trust Whitney, you know, into the awesome and righteous hands of the Lord.
Yes, 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 very much so. And I know she mentioned Michael Jackson. I'm not trying to depress anyone, you know, but I know she missed Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is also legendary, you know. So
absolutely,
the world has lost two great, legendary, talented singers, artists.
Yeah, but you know, when you don't want to depress anybody, you know, and I don't think you are, sweetheart, because I think that what we have to remember. We have to celebrate their lives. You know, I'm of this mindset. You know, like, because I lost my producer and my manager, you know, to a murder suicide. But I'm still chewing off of the wisdom that, you know, that I've learned from them, and you know, just the things that they've added to my life. And 6 months before that, I lost my mom. You know, but it's like this. I've learned so much when I lose them. I'd rather have loved them and lost them than to have never had them at all.
Yeah.
Because when you think about how our lives have been enhanced and how much happier our lives have been, how they made us, how much joy they brought us through their music, I think rather than think about how sad it is that they're gone, we have to celebrate the fact that God gave us these wonderful people. You know, to begin with, and that even though they're gone, their music will go on forever and ever. The impact and the impression that they left on our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, it goes on forever and ever. There was a song that I wrote and I sang it at my mom's homegoing, and it just talked about, it says, celebrate my life, celebrate the years, celebrate our family and wipe each other's tears, celebrate the laughter, celebrate the fun, celebrate the promise that all sorrow will be gone. Just celebrate the light that is my life in your heart. So we celebrate the light of Whitney and the life and light of Michael Jackson and Sugarfoot and David Peterson and Ollie Woodson and Tina Marie, who I had an opportunity to be on her last CD. All Vesta, you know, all these wonderful people. We can celebrate the light of their light in our hearts as we continue to listen to their music and just realize the blessing it was to have them. Aaliyah, yes. You know, so many wonderful people are gone, so, but never forgot.
Yes. And, Ms. Murdoch, I like to say you're one of those legendary great people, a living legend on Show Talk with Angela Butler. It makes me feel wonderful.
Well, bless your heart.
So I would like to ask you about the Stella and Dove Award, for which you nominated for the project, which includes the video for the hit song, I Love Me Better Than That.
Yes, well, I Love Me Better Than That is a song that my husband and I wrote together. But I got the idea of it because I know that, you know, women, we play Superwoman for everybody but ourselves. We take care of everybody's kids. We take care of we can work it out for everybody but ourselves. But there are a lot of, I do a lot of women's conferences. You know, I see women looking gorgeous, you know, and they're designer this, designer that. But underneath all of that, we know how to mask so well and act like everything is everything. Everything is wonderful. But underneath all of that designer, this, that, and the other, behind that smile, there are women that are toe up from the floor up, and we have issues. Yeah. A lot of our issues stem from low self-esteem and no self-esteem. You know, we give people the power to validate us, not realizing that when you give people the power to validate you, you also give them the power to cancel you, and that's too much power. We also walk around trying to think we can fix everybody, you know. But when you realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are designer original, baby, there's nobody like you. You are God's daughter. He's the king. That makes you a princess, so you're royalty. So why are you walking around pissing on these frogs, baby? They are going to stay frogs.
Oh, yes.
Be willing
yes.
to wait.
Yes.
Willing to wait and
it's
realize
true.
That whoever
Funny,
God
but it's
has
true.
For you is in the crock pot. And you don't want him till he's ready.
Okay.
So,
right.
You know, allow yourself, you know, don't think about you're being single as a curse. It's a single season. Seasons change, you know. After, you know, you can have the hardest winter, but baby, in a minute, spring is going to come up, you know.
Yes.
So to just be encouraging, to work on you, honey. Love you. Take yourself out to dinner. You know, help yourself to become the best you. You know, love yourself. And so, that's what that song was really all about, you know, because there are a lot of women who go through physical abuse, you know, emotional abuse. They give away the key to their heart, the key to their dreams. You know, sometimes women settle for any kind of old piece of man just to say that you got a man. Honey, you can't love nobody till you love you. So this song was written to inspire people to take back their joy, take back their hope, take back their dreams, take back everything that the devil's ever stolen from them. And to just empower you to be your best self. Don't let nothing separate you from being your best self. And so that's what that was all about. And so I was really grateful that it was received by so many people.
Yes,
there are thousands of hits even on that video, you know. But to not only get the Stellar Award nod, which was, like I told you, like the Gospel Grammy, but the Dove Awards is like, It's like the Grammys.
Oh, goodness.
You know, it's the Christian side of that arena. So it was really a blessing, you know, to cross. It's like crossing over for like R&B into pop. It's like gospel to the CCM side is like R&B to pop. It's like the gospel to the Christian side.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm going to play your song, Miss Shirley Mugg. I Love Me Better Than That. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I thought there was something wrong with the network.
No.
All right.
No.
Well, I'm going
to. I don't want to step on you.
Okay.
I love me better than that, than to lay here and cry or to stay here and die.
Yes.
Put yourself back. How about that?
Yes. I'm going to play this, and it's very inspirational, beautiful song, beautiful vocals. I Love Me Better Than That by Shirley Murdoch.
I love me. as I look in the mirror, a broken woman I see, broken down by the streets of life's journey. That broken woman is me. So I take me a little ride
back down memory lane.
In pieces and the little bit of strength that remains, but I love me
better. Okay, that was a clip from Shirley Murnard's Love Me Better Than That. I love that song.
Amen.
So, I was reading that you working the journey on the, that you worked on a song with the Journey was a song with Regina Bell, Beverly Crawford, and Kelly Price.
Yes, yes.
Is that a
Journey
current project?
Yes, it's my current CD project. It's my very first live CD DVD endeavor. And I had the opportunity to work with a wonderful, phenomenal producer by the name of Cedric Thompson, who's also done a lot of work with Donald Lawrence. His wife is an awesome gospel singer by the name of Lejeune Thompson. And Cedric has also been like music director for Stephanie Mills. Beautiful Stephanie Mills. But this is my first live endeavor, but to have the opportunity to work with some of my girlfriends that I've known, you know, in the secular arena and in the gospel arena, for probably all of them, definitely over 10 years, and to invite them to be a part of this very special night, and to sing with them and fellowship with them. It was an awesome night, and I believe that I just wanted to do songs that would reflect, that would be a reflection of not only my personal and spiritual journey, but also my musical journey, you know, being a kid growing up singing gospel, singing in choirs, and going to Catholic schools, you know, going to Catholic mass, being influenced by the, you know, that acoustic sound.
Yeah.
In my secular career, you know, growing up listening to jazz and blues and being with Roger Troutman, with Funk, he's a jazz guitarist. All of that musical influence, I think, is included, you know, in that project, along with, you know, my love for praise and worship, you know, songs, again, life songs. The song that I do with Kelly is a song that says, keep loving me, that reminds me about the unconditional love of God. I love the line that says, I know there were times when you probably shouldn't, and I know everyone else probably wouldn't, but I thank you for always loving me. And the song that I do with Regina kind of reflects her jazzy vibe, a song called Upward Way. And
yes,
the song that I do with Beverly Crawford is one of them hand clapping, foot stomping songs that Beverly's known for, called Jesus is the Rock.
Okay. All right.
And then we all come together and do a song at the very end,
yes,
called Someday.
Mm-hmm. Someday. All right.
Yes,
Someday,
yeah.
That'll be played next.
Okay.
I have to say this. This may sound, I don't know how this is going to sound to you, but
you're
instead of
say
saying you've worked with these people, these people have worked with you, too, because you're famous, too, and legendary, too. I keep saying this. So you've worked with Three Ways to Get a Husband. You've worked with Billy D. Williams.
Yes.
Leon and Lenny,
yes,
Williams. You worked with.
Yes.
I Know I've Been Changed with Shirt. I mean, you've worked with Clifton Powell, J.K.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, Christopher Williams, David Hollins, and both the stage play and DVDs of Man of Her Dreams. I mean, you've been doing a lot of stage plays.
I've been doing stage plays since about the mid-90s.
Mid-90s. Oh, yes, you have a lot of them. And I have to wonder, do you prefer stage plays over films? Is that just the way it worked out, or is that your preference?
You know, I feel blessed to do all of it. Like I said, you know, my life is a dream come true from watching those Shirley movies and saying that's going to be me today.
Okay.
To it actually being me one day.
Yes.
You know, from watching Billy Dee on the big screen, you know, what, you want my arm to fall off? So, you know, to actually being on, you know, being right there on stage with him, you know, or standing in the wings, you know, ready to make an entrance as he makes an exit. OMG.
Yes, okay.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I, like I said, I've been so blessed. And I really try to not any of it for granted. I appreciate, you know, you saying, you know, that you're famous, you're a legend, obviously.
Well, you are.
But
you're very blessed.
Yeah, it's true, but I'm humbled by it because here's the real
deal. You are humble. You are very humble.
It didn't have to be me. It didn't have to be me. Baby, there are so many people who are talented in the graveyard who never had an opportunity. So, but because I have had this opportunity, it really makes me really recognize the fact that I owe. You know, I'm grateful because to God first, you know, not only for the talent, but for the doors that opened for me to be able to hone my skills and to be able to up every day doing what it is that I love to do. But I'm humbled by the people who support. You talked about all those millions of hits that I have. Those are the people that help me do what I do. And people like
you. Hello, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
People.
No, I cannot.
Miss opportunity. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. Let's see if it's any better. Okay, is this better now?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. I said, and people like you who allow me to talk to you, you allow me to speak to your listeners, you know, you put me in front of the people, you know, you radio personalities, you know, all those people who go and buy the tickets, who buy the records, who download the music, who download the DVDs, all those people, everybody are a part of my life being a dream come true. So for me, I always feel like I owe. So I, you know, I'm humbled by the opportunity. It's not a job. It's an opportunity to sign an autograph or to take a picture, you know.
Okay.
Because what I do, you don't need it like you need your gas lights, your phone, you know, your food. This is something extra. So I realize that even in this economy, people take their hard-earned money, you know, and they take from this, that, and the other and put it together to come to the shows, buy the tickets, you know, buy the records, whatever. And so I'm just humbled and I'm grateful. And God first, but also I realize, and I've learned this from Roger Troutman, I know what side my bread is buttered on. And he told me this years ago. He said, if you do a great live performance, he said, do a great record, do a great live performance, if this is the key, stay touchable to the people, and they will support you for the rest of your life.
All right.
It's true.
That is
true. And I'm grateful.
I have to ask you this before I play your next song someday. If you could talk, I know you're a minister and you talk and you're in the pulpit, but if you could talk to any young listeners, young women that are listening today, I know you said a lot. In your song, you said a lot on this show to encourage people, and you've talked about God a lot, which is always inspirational and good and touched the souls of people. But if you could talk to one woman who's been abused, or you are a single mother who has a child, what would you tell them? She has no hope. What would you tell them?
I would tell the young woman that's been abused, it goes back to loving yourself. You can't love anybody until you learn how to love yourself. And if he's hitting you, he does not love you. The attributes of love is kindness and patience and long-suffering, and it's not puffed up and it's slow to anger. Anything opposite of that is not love. So you need to, you know, run, Forrest, run. If somebody, because if he's hitting you, he doesn't love you. He hates you. He also hates himself. You can't love anybody till you learn how to love yourself. So you need to understand that you are valuable, that you deserve better than that, that you deserve to be treated with dignity and honesty and respect. And when you treat yourself like that, that's going to weed out a whole lot of them jokers. That's going to set the bar for how you should be treated based upon how you treat yourself. For a young single woman that's got kids, again, I reiterate what I just said, but I also have to say that when you have children, these children did not ask to be brought into this world. You brought them here, so therefore now you have a responsibility to get them to a place of wholeness. And the best thing you can give your kid is a happy, whole mom. A mom that's got her head together, that's got her heart together, that's got her life together. You have to be mindful of bringing in men into your home, because especially if you have young girls, and these days even young boys, you have to be mindful of who you let come into the presence of your precious children, who you allow to have influence, because these children are going to be affected and influenced by their environment. You need to surround them with people who are stable. You need to surround them, you know, maybe, you know, take them to big brothers and big sisters, try to get them a mentor, somebody that can, if there's not a dad, you know, there are organizations where there are strong men who will be there who can help you to raise a black man or to raise a young man. So I would say you have to put them in an environment that's going to give them a glimpse of what's better. You know, take them to the library, you know, help them to read. There's internet. There's a whole world of information station out there of what it is if they have a dream of being a singer, of being a dancer, being a writer. You know, look to their talents, because whatever it is that they're talented in, that's the thing that's going to be their passion. And encourage your kids to go after their passion, to not to dream big. If your kid is talented in a sport, you don't want to be just a basketball player or a football player. You want to be an owner. So tell them, you know, teach them to dream big, to go beyond just the norm. So those are the things that I would say. But I would also say that when you I cannot talk about these things without connecting it back to God, because God, yes, is in him that we live, move, and have our being. He's the giver of the dream. He's the keeper of the dream and the fulfiller of the dream. He knows why he made you. He's the manufacturer. He knows what your purpose is. So if you're wondering what your purpose is, there's no way that, let's say, Ford Motor Company can tell Dodge, you know, whether or not their product is any good. Because before any manufacturer makes a product, he has purpose for it. And then that manufacturer not only has the owner's manual, but it got the spare parts. So if you're broken, if your life is broken, if you don't know what your purpose is, go back to the one, get reconnected back to the one whose idea you were. God says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have towards you. That's the scripture that says that, Jeremiah 29:11. You can read it for yourself. He says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of peace, not evil. To give you an expected end, that means to give you hope, to give you a future. So when you get reconnected back to the one who made you, the one whose idea you are, he can put you on the path that will lead you right to your destiny.
Yes, yes. Thank you for that, Ms. Murdoch.
You're so welcome.
We're going to go to your song, Someday.
Yes.
All right.
Someday we'll get it right. Someday is like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It is that dream, you know, even that dream that Dr. Martin Luther King had, you know, someday, you know, my children will be known, you know, not for the color of their skin, but the content of their character. Someday we'll learn to love one another. Someday we'll learn to treat each other the way we're supposed to and value one another. So someday,
yes,
I'll also play
your song Dream, which you sang at Emma K. Memorial Dedication Ceremony
at the
Art Period with the National Symphony Orchestra.
Yes, yes, that was
so
awesome.
So I'm going to get to that, too.
Okay.
And right now I'm going to concentrate on Someday. All right, by Ms. Shirley Murdoch, listeners.
All right.
This is really my heart. This song really reflects the way I feel. Daughters against mothers, sons against their fathers. How did our families get this way? We wonder why the world is crashing down so fast. It's seems as though we cannot get love to last. Someday we'll unite as one.
Oh, oh.
People feel with hatred, brother against brother. When will we love as Christ loves us?
But will we stop all this foolish fighting? Then we can stop so much senseless dying.
Someday we'll unite as one.
Oh, someday we will all be together. Yeah, yeah.
All right, listeners, that's Someday by Miss Shirley Murdoch. I noticed you said something that really caught my attention. You said that there was organizations out there with men that could help raise a strong black man.
Yeah, you know, there are, you know, big brothers, big sisters, you know, there are, you know, if you go online, you can find many of them, like in your area. One of the things that my husband and I are trying to do with we have what we call the I Love Me Better Than That thing. And you can get my website, Shirley Murdoch, lifesongs.com. And it's really an attempt to pull together, you know, many cities have champions. Some people, you know, champion domestic violence. Some people might deal with the homeless, you know, just various organizations. But they don't come together. So if you've got a organization, you know, who, you know, domestic violence and a woman has to flee, you know, for her safety and her kids, if they knew where to go, it would be very, very helpful. So, you know, our heart is that we want to leave, when we come to a city, we don't want to just extract resources just because we come in and get paid to do a particular thing. We want to leave cities, communities better off. Even if it's putting together, let's say, pastors of churches with the police chief of that city, you know, can you imagine the difference it would be if a young child got in trouble and the police chief called the pastor and said, okay, I got one of your kids down here. You want to deal with them? You want me to deal with them? Can you see, that puts back community. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you know, but I think in every city, you know, there are organizations, you know, that are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Can you hear me? Okay, there are organizations, you know, churches have, you know, people there, you know, if you get your child involved, get your kid involved in the choir, get your kid involved in vacation Bible school, you know, where there are people there that can help you, you know. Church communities can help you, you know, if you're a single mom, you know.
Yes.
That's like a second family. You know, I think one of the things that helped me become the person that I am today, growing up singing in the choir with a lot of young people who love the Lord like I did, and sitting there listening to my pastor's messages from Sunday to Sunday. Then when I came into the music industry, you know, in my mid-20s, I knew who I was and whose I was. You know, it's important. You don't want the music industry to define you.
No,
so,
that's true.
So, I mean, those are things that are very helpful in my life. Not to be, it does take a village. You know, my village
does take a
village. You know, my support system has made such a difference in my life.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, I've enjoyed you coming on the show. I'd like you to tell my listeners where they can go to download or buy your CDs or singles, and then we're going to play The Dream. And that will basically conclude the show.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for the invitation.
You are more
to come on your show.
Welcome.
I really appreciate
You're
that.
You're more than welcome.
And if you go to my website, Shirley Murdoch Life Songs, LifeSongs.com, you will find my itinerary. You can find out where I'm going. You know what my next performances are. But there's also my filmography. If you just touch the icon of any of those, you know, any of my film work, it will take you right to the site of where you can get it. The same with my discography. If you touch the icon of any of those CD covers, it will take you right to where you can download and you know, make available for you where you can get all of my CDs and all those projects. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Shirley Murdoch. I'm also have a fan page on Facebook. So I'm not hard to reach, and I read my own stuff and I answer my own stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good to know. I found that out too. I believe I when I spoke to your manager,
My manager/husband.
Yes.
My husband.
I didn't know if you wanted me to say that. But yes, your husband.
Yes.
Minister.
Yeah, it'll be 25 years in June.
Ma'am?
It'll be 25 years in June.
25 years, yes. Oh, that
ain't
is
God
wonderful.
Good.
Yes, God is good. 25 years, and you're both in the ministry. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Reminds me of the love I see. Well, not the commitment that I see when I look on television. I see a magazine of President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. You know,
well,
they've been together a long time, too.
To
and that's the kind of relationships and marriages people need to see more of.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, God definitely makes a difference. And friendship is the best ship to be on. That is the foundation of our relationship, God and friendship. And
yes.
It's really a blessing.
Yes, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I really appreciate having you. It's
You're
been a
welcome.
Blessing. All right, thank you.
God bless, honey.
God bless you, too, Ms.
Murdoch. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. All right, listen, we've had on the Show Talk with Angela Butler, Shirley Murdoch. She is an evangelist, not only a singer and an actress, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. Next, we're going to play her song, The Dream.
Can we just begin to thank the Lord for our dream? Let me see you wave your hand if you got a dream. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Trouble often comes to destroy the dream within. Hard to find a friend that wants to see you win.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Trouble often comes to destroy what we believe. But the dream lives on inside of me, growing strong in spite of me. Through it all, my dream, it will survive. Oh, God gave me a dream that would not die. God cannot lie. Oh, God showed me. Let me see your hand. He showed you your dream.
Jermichus Jeffries is a songwriter.